The sermon text from John chapter 2, verse 11. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is baptized by John in the Jordan River, where the heavens are opened and the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove, and the Father announces the pleasure with the Son's work. The Holy Spirit shortly thereafter leads Jesus into the wilderness, where he is tempted by Satan. Jesus emerges from the temptations without sinning and is ministered to by angels. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he returns to Galilee. And upon his return to Galilee, Jesus begins to call his disciples to him. And now we find Jesus at a wedding feast in the town of Cana in Galilee. Having spent 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus kind of reprises the role of Israel with their 40 years in the wilderness wanderings. Jesus is what we call Israel reduced to one. Right, he's where Israel failed, Jesus is succeeding. And so Jesus now, as truly God's Son, is stepping out onto the world stage, ready to begin his mission of proclaiming the good news of salvation in the work that he is going to accomplish, the work that he will do. In the wilderness, Jesus steadfastly refuses to use his divine authority to satisfy his own need. Now, it's clear that Satan knows that Jesus can do miracles because of the things that he asked Jesus to do, especially say the word and you can change these rocks into bread. I know you're hungry, right? I know you're hungry. Go ahead. Do it. It'll be fine. It's okay. And Jesus refuses to do it, saying, "Have you not heard that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but upon every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus emerges from the temptations victorious. Now he goes from the wilderness to the wedding. And through his miracles, and though his miracles were generally done to alleviate human suffering, the very first of his miracles was done at a wedding, a festive occasion, ministering to human joy and making people happy. It's as if Jesus wanted to announce right from the start that the religion he was introducing into the world was not one of self-denial, but one of natural joy. And it's also as we read in our wedding ceremony. Our Lord blessed and honored marriage with his presence and first miracle at Cana in Galilee. So we see Jesus blessing and honoring the institution of marriage. There's so much to unpack here in this first miracle, how there is a reference to 3 days, 3 days later he went to the wedding feast. There is water for purification, reminding us of baptism. Jesus' reference to his time having not yet come, pointing us to his crucifixion. John records that Jesus referred to his mother twice, or in John's gospel, Jesus only refers to his mother twice here and at the crucifixion. Both times he shows the customary respect by his mother. I know to our ears it's, I would never go to my mother and say, "Woman," "woman." I wouldn't address my mother like that. But in their culture, it was a term of respect. You have to read that and you have to hear it as, "Dear woman," right? Addressing, kind of like we would say, "Yes, ma'am," "Yes, sir," "No, ma'am," "No, sir." "Dear woman." He refers to her, what does this have to do with me? It's not my hour, it's not my time yet. And then at the crucifixion, when he's hanging on the cross, he says to her, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother," commending his mother into the care of John for the rest of her natural life. But I wanted to focus this morning, there's so much there. But what caught my attention this year was the sign and its effect. So in biblical language, a sign is an act or a miracle with a meaning designed to lead to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God and as the Savior of the world. And that's what this sign did. When God wills to do something, he does it, and it happens immediately. When God wills to do something, he can do it immediately, that is through means, or immediately, just right now. So usually when he heals people, God heals people, he uses doctors, nurses, medicines, pharmacists, pharmaceutical companies, hospitals, surgeons, all of these things he uses. But there are instances where Jesus, we find, healed people instantaneously or immediately. He spoke to the paralyzed man. I say to you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man stood up and walked and went. And Jesus overcame through his very words the atrophy of the man's muscles. He overcame the weakness of the man's legs. He overcame all of these things simply by his word, and he did it immediately. Here, in this case, Jesus made wine. And he made wine without the usual processes for making wine. Now, usually God works faith and preserves faith only through his appointed means and has bound us to them. But God can work outside of these things. He just said, fill the water jars with water. He didn't even say, be wine. He just willed it to happen, right? That's pretty fantastic. That is very amazing. If you think about what has to be happened in this physical, natural world to overcome or to be part, I mean, the water molecules changed. There wasn't even any grapes in them, right? It was just water, then it was wine. An immediate miracle. So we see Jesus creating by his will. God's will is God's power. What God's will, God does. Jesus' will is his power. What Jesus wills, Jesus does. So with God, all things are possible. And as it is also written, with God, nothing shall be impossible. God is above the laws of nature. For what are the laws of nature? But nothing less or nothing more than the will of God applied to his creation. So we find Jesus being above the laws of nature. He is the one who instituted the laws of nature. He can amend the laws of nature at his very will. Here at Cana, we find Jesus willing the water to be wine. There are no grapes. There is no fermentation process. Simply water in and the best of wines out. Jesus performed this miracle by divine omnipotence. And the disciples realized this. For we are told that his disciples believed on him. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? It means to believe that he is the divine Messiah sent by God to be the Savior of the world. At Cana, Christ is revealed and his divine majesty shines through for a blink of an eye. As a rule, Jesus' majesty was veiled and it was hidden. Even when at Cana he revealed his majesty, his divine glory was still veiled. It was still hidden, the disciples unable to see it. That would be seen in the transfiguration when Jesus was unveiled for a moment and his divine glory and his divine majesty shone through and the disciples saw Jesus as he would be seen in heaven. And what was the response there? They cast themselves in great fear down on their faces and hid their faces from the sight, fumbling and stumbling, not knowing what to say. Through this majesty, though this majesty, his disciples placed her faith in Jesus through this majesty of this miracle. The miracle has implications for you and I too. We are given the eyewitness account of Jesus' miracle and why. It's so that we know what Jesus can do and what he's able to do. So what does it mean if Jesus can turn water into wine? It means when the word of absolution is spoken over you, Jesus wills it to be that your sins are absolved, your sins are gone, your sins are forgiven. And that's what happens when the absolution is spoken. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God wills in that moment that your sins be taken away, your sins are taken away. You can trust that when you are washed in the waters of holy baptism, those sacred waters do everything that they are intended to do. Be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So forgiveness and salvation are in, with, and under the water of holy baptism. You can be confident of that, that you were given the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. You were given faith in the waters of holy baptism. This is a divine work, a holy work, a sacred work of God that he performs on your behalf, giving you faith and salvation and life everlasting in the waters of baptism. We can be confident that he who changed water into wine will give us his true body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine of the sacrament of the altar. He will give it to us so that it will accomplish the purpose for which it is given, the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Jesus wills, and it is accomplished. And what does Jesus will? Jesus wills to go to Golgotha for each and every one of us. He wills to go to the cross for the sins of the world, to bear them there in his flesh, so that we might be forgiven through his sacrifice. Jesus wills to go to Golgotha to pray, to pay the penalty for the sins of the world. So the forgiveness of your sins and the forgiveness of my sins, and for the forgiveness of sin, we place our faith. The object of our faith is in Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of God, born to die so that we might live. We believe in Christ Jesus. And to believe in Jesus, to believe in, expresses the faith or belief in the person of Jesus and shows a free and total commitment given to Jesus, for he is the object of our faith. To believe in Jesus is to be bound to him as the God incarnate, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So as we look at the Epiphany miracles of Jesus and all that he has done for us, let each and every one of us trust Jesus' word and all that he has done to secure for us the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. What the Lord wills, the Lord does. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.